The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Burger King has served up a... The news story is rather whimsical. Burger King, it says, has served up a plain apology to a woman who said she was ordered by a franchise employee to stop breastfeeding her baby in the fast food restaurant's dining room area. Now, my understanding is breastfeeding in public is legal. Dr. Jim Sadler joins us to talk about the phenomenon of breastfeeding in public, and really, not just so much whether there's a moral problem with it, but you say there are practical medical problems involved with breastfeeding, period, that may affect public breastfeeding, correct?
That is correct. So, first of all, thank you for having me on your program.
What are the statistics you were talking to us about?
The really rather appalling statistics that we see in our office is the incidence of infants dying while being breastfed are shocking. This is an avoidable problem, yet modern morality does play into children who are suffocating, children who may be asphyxiating on clothing.
What is that because the woman is required when she's breastfeeding a baby in public to keep as much of the breast covered as possible?
Most women, when breastfeeding in public, are required, as you say, Phil, to keep the breast covered. That means that there is a lot of clothing. There are blankets that the infant is resting in. There is a jumper that the mother's wearing. But with all of that clothing that the mother is trying to get through, if you will, the child could be in jeopardy. The blanket may be impeding the infant's ability to breastfeed. The child may not be making contact with the mother in order to breastfeed, or is having a hard time breathing. Because our society requires women who breastfeed in public to cover as much of the breast as possible, the end result is the child can, as I say, suffocate. The woman may not be aware that the infant is not feeding. The infant may ingest a piece of cloth or fabric that impedes the breathing. We've had instances where an infant succumbs to suffocation and the mother is not aware until it's too late. It's outrageous. And to debate whether a woman should be allowed to breastfeed in public is not the question. Of course, she should. What we have to ask ourselves is, are we even too modest when it comes to that?
Well, your solution has been, or you've talked to other doctors, to expose her breast fully, even if it's in public?
That is correct, yes.
So that the woman is, when we say fully exposed, I mean, there's a baby there, but the breast is completely out of her underclothing?
That is correct. The way she's able to see the infant, that way she's also, the infant is not impeded by the things we were talking about. The resistance that we're getting from this is primarily... It's interesting, it's primarily from women who don't want to see the full breast exposed while a woman is breastfeeding. And
are these people also religiously motivated?
Yes, there's religious motivation. Other women who, surprisingly, and I think rather childishly, there are women who don't have perhaps large breasts or who feel insecure when a woman who does shows her large breast and is breastfeeding, especially if a small-breasted woman is with her husband. So these small-breasted women have been giving us problems. There's a certain contingent of women who have had breast enhancement, which I find very fascinating. And the look of a large, natural breast, fully exposed and feeding an infant, one of nature's truly beautiful sights, makes them feel embarrassed and inadequate, and that they go out and buy a pair of breasts. And as just as an aside, I have been married to women who have had, fortunately for me, I suppose, so large breasts. And I wouldn't go near a woman with silicone in her breasts. And I think that a lot of those women sort of intuit that. They understand it. But the biggest opponent is the breastfeeding mother herself. It seems she would rather her child be in this kind of jeopardy then expose her breast fully, and even so far as taking a blouse off if she has to, in order to facilitate the feeding of the infant.
All right, Mark Newman is my engineer, and he's an expectant father, and so he's listening to this with interest, Dr. Sandler. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. So when women are breastfeeding in public, they need to expose their breast fully, and the real opponents are the breastfeeding mothers themselves.
That is correct, yeah. They're modest. They may be suffering from this, some of the problems that I was telling you, that they're small-breasted. They may be suffering from some you know, problem like that. But keep in mind that if she doesn't want to expose the breast fully, the child could suffocate. And now we're faced with the possibility that a woman would rather her child die than she, you know, show it, or not show it, but, you know, get it, pull it out and show, you know, I'm speaking in terms of showing it.
Oh, do you mean take her breast out and feed the child?
That is correct, right.
All right, now, I know you have had an unorthodox approach to this with some of your patients, correct?
Yes, in my practice, I do.
Can you tell us about that? And I'll give our phone number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Breastfeeding, as it currently happens in public, the woman could kill the kid with all of that coverage. So she has to pull her breast completely. I mean, she has to expose her breast completely so that the child doesn't strangle on all of that clothing that she's...
Well, you look at women breastfeeding today, and I want to walk up to them and say, what are you doing? You know, she's pulled her blouse down. She's got a big blanket over her. If the blouse is open or off and the breast is fully exposed, there's no chance that your baby will die. And I have said to women, we have infant mortality rates that are going through the roof. We have an infant mortality ratio, male to female, that is currently at unprecedented heights. And yet breastfeeding mothers would rather their child asphyxiate in a ghoulish and horrifically slow death than just pull the boob. I'm sorry.
I know you're nervous. Then breastfeed the child with a fully exposed breast.
Right.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Do you think that there would be resistance from store owners, from, you know, when we're talking about this Burger King suit?
Well, I don't care what Burger King thinks or anyone else. If my wife needs to feed my child, I want her to pull out her whole breast. I was going to say boob, but I mean breast. And feed the kid. Jesus, H.
All right, doctor, hold on. I know that you have been angered by a lot of arguments you've had with city councils and commissions.
It's been a very frustrating period of about 8 months, Phil. It really has.
All right. In your practice, what do you tell expectant mothers?
You've got two. I love to compliment the one. You've got two beautiful breasts. You should let the world see them for the beauty and for the life-giving that they provide. And you make the woman feel better. And also, if she's self-conscious, you know, you can comment, you know, on her breasts.
Yeah, but at what point does that become sexual harassment?
Well, I'm a doctor at no point. My interest is for the health of my patient. What do you mean sexual harassment? I'm not clear.
When you comment on how lovely a woman's breasts are...
She's a patient of mine, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, but at what point does that become a sexual harassment?
I'm a doctor, sir, and
Dr. Sadler, understand, I'm not accusing you of anything, sir. I'm trying to understand.
I get it.
Okay, so at what point did...
I'm a doctor. My interest is for the health of my patients. To get over this possibly murderous modesty, remember, you can kill your child. I use behavioral modification. Women are not examined in my office wearing a gown. We prefer to examine them nude. They're asked to remove their blouses and their brassieres as they come into the examining area. Why on earth would a mother take a chance with her baby? I don't know.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Modern breastfeeding in public where the child is covered with a blanket and the woman is barely showing her breast, according to this doctor, can kill the baby. The baby could suffocate. The kid could strangle on some fabric. It's safer to have the full breast exposed. Jennifer, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Jim Sadler on the Phil Henry Show.
Excuse me, but I have never heard of anything so ridiculous in my lifetime as someone suffocating their baby through breastfeeding.
Oh, okay. Well, the infant mortality, as it pertains to breastfeeding, you should see the statistics.
Yeah, I would like to see the statistics.
Yeah, well, then why don't you look them up rather than call me?
No, because I was a breastfeeding mother, and there was no way that I would
you got all the answers. You got
no way that a child would suffocate. You would
you
know
all,
that.
You got all the answers, huh? You,
well,
I know the statistics.
Were you a breastfeeding mother?
Well, are you a doctor?
Actually, I am.
No, you're not.
Okay.
No,
and
you're not.
How do you know that I'm not?
Because you don't speak like a doctor, and if you were, you'd be aware of the statistics.
No, actually,
so,
I think you need to ask breastfeeding mothers.
No, you're not a doctor. You're just another idiot that brought a kid.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Hold on for a minute,
I'm not
Jennifer.
I'm an idiot, and I am a doctor.
Yeah, hold on.
I was a breastfeeding mother.
All right, hold on, Jennifer. Hold on.
You grow breasts
hold on.
Feed your child.
Hold on, doctor.
Yeah.
Don't call anybody an idiot, all right?
Well, she's calling me a liar. What kind of doctor are you?
I'm a PhD.
I'm talking about a medical doctor, you dumb bitch.
Come on!
Excuse me?
Get him under control, will you? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler on breastfeeding babies in public. It's possible it could be dangerous because you got so much clothing, so much coverage, so much everything on the child that the child could suffocate, the child could possibly die. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, The Whore. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. Jim Sadler is on the line with us. And for the most part, Dr. Sadler, you are against breastfeeding in public. Burger King has apologized for throwing a woman out of their restaurant for breastfeeding in their dining room. But you absolutely endorsed them doing that, didn't you?
I did, Phil. I was one of the few doctors who did.
The lady's name was Kate Gary. She said she was made to feel like a criminal for breastfeeding her baby girl Monday and asked the burger chain for an apology. Should they?
Absolutely not. Burger King did issue a generic apology, something about an inconvenience, which I thought was bland enough. I didn't want them to go any further. I didn't want them to say we are sorry to this woman. I think Burger King has taken a stand that needs to be taken. While I am an advocate of some kinds of breastfeeding in certain situations, I think a lot of women that breastfeed in public are very much exhibitionists.
Now, this goes against some 30, at least 30 years of thinking, doesn't it?
No, thinking where? Are you talking?
Well, the medical establishment.
Well, the medical establishment and Jim Sadler have been at the opposite ends of the food trough, if you will, for a long time. I'm a little unorthodox. Why do you want to sit in public? You don't urinate in public. Why do you breastfeed?
One is giving food to your child if the child is hungry, right?
Phil, resist the temptation to feel as if you've heard so many debates on this that you've got an opinion set in stone. What I'm saying to you is you urinate in public. That's the releasing of a bodily fluid. So is breastfeeding. You do that in private, away from people that want to keep their food down. And breastfeeding in public makes everyone else around you feel uncomfortable. So I would say that individuals who breastfeed in public are exhibitionists.
Meaning they want to show off their breasts.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah.
Well, okay. The other point I wanted to make with you, Doctor, is that you have said publicly that the breastfeeding of an infant in public is one of the stupidest things that you've ever seen. I want you to explain that comment in a moment here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler is with us. You call breastfeeding in public stupid. Why?
I don't think I need to explain that.
Well, for the purposes of us, why?
Ever since the development of infant formula, you don't need to breastfeed, let alone breastfeed in public. It's unbelievable that people don't get it.
When you say formula...
Milk in a bottle, for God's sake. You put a nipple on the end of the bottle, you put that into the infant's mouth, and you breast... it's got milk. But these women, they got this...
Well, isn't there an argument about it? I understand there's milk,
Have you ever heard of formula baby bottle?
Yes, I've heard of formula and baby bottle. What I'm saying is this: the belief is that mother's milk is better for the baby.
Oh, bull crap! I mean, and forgive my language. Mother's milk is better for the baby. That's like saying, excuse me, Phil. That's like saying that distilled water is better for you than regular water. Well, I suppose, but it's still water. The other thing is breastfeeding makes your baby, and I don't know how to say this, but they look a little stupid. I think we've evolved from this archaic practice of feeding a child, but to have your child begin life looking like an idiot, laying there with a bald head, his face shoved in your breast, and you looking like the Madonna, and meanwhile a kid, you know, you get a picture of that someday for a man. Let's say you're a Vietnam prisoner of war, and you're trying to remain tough for your captors. They're going to take you in, they're going to torture you. They're going to ask you information about units and where your positions, where your army strength is. If they get a hold of a picture of you as an infant with the bald head laying there breastfeeding, they're going to laugh at you. They won't think you very hard.
Are you telling me that a guy who's about to be tortured by the Iraqis or something, or the Vietnamese, better not have a picture on him of him breastfeeding?
Or if they got a hold of one. Women who breastfeed...
What are you trying to say to me?
Now listen, Phil, women who breastfeed in public are screaming, look at me, I have a baby. Yes, we can see you've got a baby without your breast hanging out, is what I'm trying to say. Without the boob fully hanging out, we understand that you've got a baby. Most women, I like to make the joke, Phil, that most women go out into public with a boob hanging out anyway, and that's the one they married. And I like to make that joke. Because the one they married is the boob that's hanging out.
Yeah, I understand.
Right. So when they do that, I feel that's the only boob they need to have hanging out, unless they got two stupid husbands.
Both their boobs are hanging out, I understand.
Or they're hanging out with their boobs, which is another fun way of putting it. And you've never heard a woman...
Can we get back to the breastfeeding?
To the what, I'm sorry?
The breastfeeding...
Oh, yeah. Baby bottles have milk in them. You warm them up, you stick a nipple on it, shove it in the kid's face, and you never have to go out in the public again trying to impress the world with your breasts.
Do I hear you in a pool hall?
I'm sorry?
Are you in a pool hall?
Yeah, I'm playing some stick. Why?
So, do you have a clinic?
Yeah, I've got the women's natal clinic.
Why aren't you there?
I don't really have any customers. I mean, there's nobody there right now. So I go down the street, I shoot some stick, and so I was just playing a game of 8-ball here with this black fella when you called up.
All right.
But remember, Phil, when a woman has a baby, basically she loses her identity. That's why she likes to have a breast out in public, to find her identity.
All right, doctor, I appreciate very much your call. Good luck in your game of...
We're playing cutthroat right now. There's two black guys I'm playing against. And
that's nice to know you're playing two black guys.
Well, no, but you can play cutthroat with three guys.
I understand you can play cutthroat with three guys.
So we're going to... I'm going to see if I can take these two black guys for their money. So you want to rack them? Go ahead and rack them up. No, you can shoot. Yeah. Age before beauty. So is that it?
Yeah, that's it, man. Thanks.
All right.
Some freaking guy out there shooting stick and talking about... She goes out into public with two boobs hanging out. That's if she's married to two guys. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. On the peripheral edge of reality. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Dr. Sadler is with us. Jim Sadler is a pediatrician doctor?
I'm at present time, Phil, working in a women's natal clinic. We are dealing with women who are in the very first cycle. And we are talking very stringently in public about breastfeeding and how it's in public.
What about breastfeeding in private?
Breastfeeding in private, I suppose if you want to waste your time, sure. But again, remember this and remember this very, very clearly. Women that breastfeed their children, there's no reason for it. So I've got to ask myself, why are they doing it? And I think it's because they want to be an earth mother. They want to look like... they want to have the picture on the box of a whole grain cereal or something. You know, they. So in other words,
well, what is this? Like the 60s?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of these 60s things.
All right, well, hold on, Doc. I want to get to some other calls. 1-800-449-8686. You also said if you're going to breastfeed in public, pull the entire breast out because the kid may suffocate.
Well, that's absolutely right.
All right, let me go over here to. Yellum, hello, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, ma'am, fine.
I listen to your show a lot. I'm
calling
from Toronto.
Yes, ma'am.
And I can't believe I can't believe he's a doctor, first of all. He's a sex pig, you know?
A sex
and
pig?
You mean a
sexist pig, ma'am?
You are, because first of all, you should be encouraging women to breastfeed. And where are you getting your degree?
What do you mean? I shouldn't be encouraging them or discouraging?
You should be encouraging breastfeeding.
Well,
you know,
first of
women
all...
Women should not be ashamed of breastfeeding.
First of all, Yellum, you're talking to a doctor.
I don't think you're a doctor. You probably say that you are
magazine.
A doctor. I don't think you are.
Well, I don't think you're a woman. What do you think of that?
Like, I'm not a doctor, but at least I know the basics.
Are you
wait a minute.
Just because you saw on the Jenny Jones show... some quack telling you that you should breastfeed doesn't mean it's necessarily so.
That's nothing, Jenny. I'm originally from Africa, and it's such a natural thing.
Well, that's another reason why you probably...
North America is just a shame to breastfeed.
Hold on. Yellum, first of all, you come from a part of the world that is appallingly behind in science and in health.
Oh, yeah, you think that's what you think.
That's why you're here. That's why you're here. You came here to get decent medical care.
No, that's not what I'm here for.
Well, what are you here for?
First of all, you are really bad. I can't believe you are a woman doctor to begin with.
What are you here for?
I'm explaining to you something that the main reason that I'm not calling you.
You'd be used to having your breast. You're from Africa, aren't you? Because that's what it. All the National Geographics I've ever seen, African women have the boobs. I mean, the breasts hanging out, right?
All I'm saying.
What are you talking about now?
Women don't have a space to breastfeed here in North America.
What?
And you should have been encouraging women to breastfeed more, not discouraging them the way you're talking, you sick speak.
Ma'am, if I told people that I was taking advice from a woman from Africa on medicine, they would lynch me before or after they AIDS tested me. So,
are you a racist?
Why?
Well, what do you mean Africa AIDS test?
Well, for God's sake, the woman's from Africa, she's telling me about science. They're still rolling bones down there. And women who breastfeed take the chance of their baby boy growing up to be an abuser to women because they tend to need the breast when they're adults, and if the woman cuts them off, you see, these are the things nobody tells you. No one wants to tell you that, do they?
That guys that young baby infant boys who breastfeed grow up to abuse women because if their wife cuts them off, they'll beat them up?
Yeah.
1-800-449-8686.
I mean, it probably took that woman from Africa years to learn how to wear a blouse. Because
what are you talking about, man? Just because National Geographic has pictures of black women with no tops on doesn't mean that that's her. Those are native women in villages far out into the rural areas. That lady sounded like an educated city woman.
Oh, well. You know, I'll say one thing for our hillbillies up here. At least they got the decency to keep their blouses on. Jesus.
Hold on for a minute. Tanya, go ahead. Tanya?
Yeah?
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Rather than talking about non-important issues that have absolutely nothing to do with factual facts of breastfeeding, why don't we talk about that?
I'd like to do that, but
let's
I was sidetracked
that.
By this African woman who wanted to badmouth my culture and my country. That's
okay.
Not going to happen.
Now we're talking racism and prejudice. Let's talk about
Breastfeeding. Racism? No, no. She was
breastfeeding.
Badmouthing America.
Breastfeeding.
She
wrong
was breastfeeding.
Breastfeeding states the facts that...
Yes, doctor.
Okay.
Are you
I'm
a
not
doctor?
A doctor,
okay.
But doctors have told me. Pediatricians have told me.
Well, I'm a
the
doctor.
The hospital for sick children has told me.
The hospital
that
of the what?
Breast milk is far greater in value than formula milk.
All right, can I ask
for
you something?
For many, here? Many reasons.
What do you
for
mean by breast milk? What is breast
you
milk?
You are passing
breast
down
milk.
Your immunity to your child through your breast milk. You are encouraging less frequent colds. You are encouraging less frequent ear infections. Okay?
Will you stop? I'm sorry, Tanya. I have to interrupt you. Doctor?
Forgive me, Phil, but I was eating... let me ask you something, Tanya. Are you aware that you can also pass on your drug addictions? You didn't want to talk about that one, did you?
You know,
you can pass on addictions to nicotine.
Maybe.
No, you know you can
quit
pass
your
on
license
drug addictions
practice before somebody else
ma'am,
calls in
ma'am,
on you.
Ma'am, it is true. You can pass on a drug addiction. If you don't know that, then...
We're not talking about drugs. We're
talking
about bonding with your child.
Passing on,
bonding with your child.
No, you were talking about passing on immunities.
No, no.
Let's stick
bonding
with that.
Bonding with your
no,
child.
No, you said pass on immunities,
must
didn't you?
Bond with her child.
Well, you are changing the subject, Tanya. You said passing on immunities first.
That's
passing
right.
Passing immunity
see,
to your child.
You busted this whore
right.
Because.
Don't
and
call her a whore.
Bonding with your child.
She can't hear me. She's just talking to her. I'm sorry?
No, no. I think this has to do with you being jealous of the breasts not being yours, or maybe you don't have enough breasts in your life.
A lot of times a woman with large breasts will put their children in danger. Have you thought about that? No, you don't think about that. You just want to show them to everybody.
We're not showing them. We're feeding a child. It's natural human nature to feed your child.
It happens
just
to
like
all...
Just like cows, when they give birth, they feed their calves.
Mr.
When
Henry, can I say something?
When cats give birth, they feed their kittens. When dogs give birth, they feed
Mr.
their
Henry,
dog.
Would you please
dog.
Tell this hillbilly to shut up?
Well, if
well,
you
used to...
Well,
you know
the...
what, sir?
Yeah, watch
no,
out, doctor.
No, cows and kittens don't go to the store and buy formula.
Oh, yeah? That's great. Thank you, Mother Goose. Now,
that's
look.
Right. Cows, kittens, and any other creature on the face of this earth
women
never
who
went
have
to the store and bought formula that's made out of what?
Ma'am, women...
What is it made out of?
Women who have large breasts... Cause their children.
To do anything with large breasts. This has to do
the
with
the kids get
your
stretch
child.
Marks around their mouths. I've been trying to get that line out, and you won't shut up.
No, well, great. You got your line out. They get stretch marks around their mouths.
Thank you, Phil, for repeating it.
Stretch marks around their mouths?
What? She cursed.
Yeah, she's a filthy mouth. You know something? I'm going to give up being a doctor. I tell these women what to do, and they tell me that I'm full of crap, and they go to another doctor, and, you know. A kid came in. You ever seen that guy? You ever seen a guy who's got a really big mouth, like people who talk too much?
Yeah.
They breastfed from a large-breasted mother. Blah, 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 because the mouth is so huge.
All right, Doc, I'm going to hang up now because you're frankly scaring me.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. I'm hanging up. Because I do not like the fact...
Well, no, you're not.
Hang up on this guy, will you? I don't like the fact that I've had this guy on the air for an hour, a doctor of science who wants to do a stand-up routine with me. And the fact that...
I'm back.
Hang up on this guy!
And women with small breasts, the kids grow up with a pinched, sunken face from sucking so hard.
You know, like they ate a lemon?
Right.
Okay, and yeah, right. Guy with a big mouth, his mother must have had a large breast. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world famous Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You're listening to the show the Jerky Boys listen to, the show Jamie Kennedy listens to, the show that Ashton Kutcher listens to. You're listening to the show that those three guys wish they could do. The Phil Hendry Show, baby. Single inspiration for probably all three of them acts. Maybe not the Jerky Boys, but we quickly showed them just how really old their act was. Oh, yeah, and let me not forget my very good buddy Jimmy Kimmel. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget Jimmy Kimmel. Newman's just trying to get me deeper and deeper into the toilet of entertainment in this town. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, our number. And don't forget that our CD signing is coming up on the 22nd of November. We'll give you details. Also, our Dumbass of the Year awards are coming up. But first, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association joined our show yesterday to talk a little bit about Christmas lights. They do not allow Christmas lights on houses before Thanksgiving in their neighborhood, except at their house because they have the Christmas spirit.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yes, I think this woman ought to stick her nose back on her face and get it out of everybody else's business. She's taking care of people's business where she has no right. Mm-hmm. People have a right to do mm-hmm. as they want to do is what makes them happy. Mm-hmm. And you have a problem with a sexual problem yourself that you can't mm-hmm. get your mind out of the gutter. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a psychologist license, mm-hmm. I better not ever catch you talking to any of my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. What we're worried about, Kathy, is the likelihood the children are being there's a fondlement going on in homes. Where there's a garish amount of Christmas lights, spinning wheels.
That is bull hockey, lady. I've had Christmas
displays.
Lights out all my life on the holidays, and I have never molested or abused my children.
You don't see the connection?
No, I don't, because I've raised my children in a normal family. Mm-hmm. I have a sister who is a psychologist, and if you're not a psychologist, mm-hmm. you better go out and get you a license before somebody sues your pants
mm-hmm.
off.
I try to teach these children that obviously their mother and father have problems. And I let them watch Steve and I interact with our boys because
I'm afraid of your interaction.
What do you mean you let them interact? What?
No. I'm afraid of that interaction. You know what I mean?
No, I'm just a healthy family. How dare you? That is very...
You
say
how
I
dare
a,
you assume people put Christmas lights out and molest their children?
You say
how
I
dare
a,
you, lady? You your name I, shouldn't be Dooley. It should be Dummy.
Why don't you smoke another Capri, Kathy?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Smoke another Capri. Woo! Man, that's an old-school cigarette. Boy, that's a real old-school pinched-face Capri-wearing old lady cigarette, ain't it? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here are the details on the CD sign. It's going to be out at Woodland Hills Yankee Doodles. That's a sports bar. Good place to hang out. And a great place to sign some CDs, then maybe hang around and watch a ball game. I don't know what's going on the 22nd. Is it the UCLA-SC game? Is that boring thing going to be on? Well, you can sit and if you get drunk enough, it may be watchable. Go into Yankee Doodles. Make sure you got a designated driver, of course. Do continuous shots of Jim Beam, and maybe the SC-UCLA game will be moderately interesting. Although SC's doing very well this year, way to do it, Troy. Good for you and all that. My kid's even thinking of going to SC. Oh, please, dear Jesus, don't let it be. All right. Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills, Saturday, November 22nd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 21870, Victory Boulevard, exit Topanga Canyon North off the 101 freeway. We'll see you there. Hope to sign a whole bunch of CDs and make a lot of money for my friend's place. Great place. They help kids. 1-800-449-8686 and the Phil Hendry Show coming up today. Oh, my God. You know, Jethro Tull did a song called Too Old to Rock and Roll, Too Young to Die. I think it's time to die, guys. And you'll find out why I said that coming up. Also, a Colby update. You'll be happy to know that the cops are raiding your schools, and I think it's fantastic. And also, some old man. Should I talk about that guy right now, that cat? Now, get a load of this. I love the way people have a knee-jerk reaction. Am I going to have enough time to talk about this? I don't know. But, you know, we can get into it. I've got 3 minutes. I'll get into it. And then I'll reset it next hour. Some old guy was flashing his brights to let other motorists know there was a speed trap, that he had just passed through a speed trap, right? And he was ticketed for this. And they said that his free speech rights were violated. And he's a Navy veteran. 75 years old. He beat a ticket for flashing his headlights to warn other drivers of a police speed trap. He spent $1,000 to successfully fight a $10 fine and prove he was exercising his right to free speech when he flashed his lights on August 14th, warning other drivers that Franklin police officer Chris Marlowe was clocking speeders. Now, the human race being what it is, this guy's been interviewed in Poland, seriously, in two Canadian cities, in Boston and Chicago, and they just love his ass. He was interviewed by National Public Radio, which likened him to America's founding fathers and other freedom fighters. Freedom fighters. You like that one? See, nobody wants to... This is why I never get invited to parties. See, a guy like this, to me, is... I think they should have thrown his tired, wrinkled old ass into a jail cell. I don't see anything good about this guy, this old slob who calls himself a Navy veteran. What were you doing, peeling potatoes? What'd you do in the Navy, seriously, man, other than take the wrong end of a broom handle? I'm joking. Although maybe it happened. What do you mean you're flashing your brights? Do you realize, you old tired bastard, that that cop is sitting there checking for speeders to make sure that that area is not being infiltrated with speeding people? It might endanger maybe a kid's life. Now that you flashed all those people, they realize it might be a speed trap, but now, of course, they know it is, and so they go zipping through there because the coppers ain't going to be there anymore, right? So you let them know, now the cop's gone, now they're going to speed, and a kid's going to die. And you're a freedom fighter, you old creep? Talk about needing to be drugged behind a car. That's the kind of guy right there. Some kid is going to die on that road because of that old man. That old 75-year-old Navy veteran by the name of Harley Bill Walker. See, that's the cat, man. That's a really friendly old name, ain't it? Harley Bill Walker? His story was picked up by the Associated Press and has been reprinted in newspapers across the country. They wanted to carry me around on their shoulders for giving them back a piece of our freedom. What freedom are you missing, man? Can you tell me that? What, the freedom to drive like a dumbass? Is that what you're missing? The freedom to be a jackass. Is that what you're missing, Harley? What freedom are you out of? Harley Bill Walker, I think you're a character on my show. I don't even think you exist. See, here's the thing, man. The guy... Oh, you may run out of time. I'm going to reset this at the top of next hour. That's how... That's it ain't that big of a deal. It really bothers me, though, when I hear about these people saying, our freedoms are being chipped away at. You have no idea or concept of what it is you're talking about when you say that. None of you. Our freedoms are being chipped away at, huh? Give me back a piece of my freedom. You know what? If you had real freedom, you got real freedom right now. You don't even know it. So if you had any more freedom, man, it would be like handing a hammer and a chisel to an ape.
And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Now, coming up on our show today, we're going to have Dr. Jim Sadler, and he will be talking about how women who breastfeed in public are just exhibitionists. Plus, if you breastfeed your child and your breasts are too big, he will get stretch marks around his mouth. If they're too small, he'll have that puckered up, sucked up, like he was sucking on a lemon look for the rest of his life. That's all coming up with Dr. Jim Sadler in a bizarre hour. Very bizarre. You got to hear it, man. We had a lady call. She was African, and he said something along the lines of, well, what do you carry on the National Geographic? You guys run around without any tops on anyway. I mean, really, really weird. Really bad. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Also on the show today, oh, my God. You know, I used to be a Jethro Tull fan. Wait till you hear. This is an old rock band. Kobe Bryant's in the news. There's a bunch of stuff. Some Scott Peterson baloney. But here's one that I want to, and I started talking about it a few minutes ago, and I want to just kind of lay this one on you. It's funny how you're all supposed to think a certain way in this world, isn't it? some old guy in Franklin, Tennessee, or I don't know the name, I don't know where, yeah, Tennessee. This old guy, a 75-year-old Navy veteran, he beat a ticket. Now, the ticket that he got was for flashing his headlights to warn other drivers of a police speed trap, right? He got a $10 fine for doing that. Now, there's a police officer sitting someplace with a radar gun. Now, why is he doing that? He's clocking speeders, he's catching speeders, and he's also becoming aware of areas where there may be unsafe driving, as in speeding, where maybe he can, with the correct information, slow people down and maybe save somebody's life. But the United States is a country where everybody sort of just does what everybody else does. There's not a whole lot of original thinking around here. Yeah, I understand the traditional history of this country as being anti-cop. And we've been anti-cop in this country since, like, the first police department was formed. But this old guy, this Navy guy, flashes people. They find out about the cop. They slow down, right? The cop then says, well, I guess there's no speeders here. I'm going to move on to another area. Once he leaves, then they get back up to speed, and the authorities are unaware of a very dangerous place that people are driving. Someone dies, maybe your kid, and Harley Bill Walker is responsible for it, who's getting his wrinkled up old Navy ass kissed today because, hey, as some dumbbell said to him somewhere, you gave us back a little bit of our freedom? Like I said last hour, what freedom are you missing, baby? What don't you have? You mean the freedom to pull it out and urinate all over the street in front of kids? Is that the freedom you want? Do we need a little bit more freedom, even though we got every kind of freedom there is in this country? Unless, of course, you want to flash kids or run them over with your car, stuff like that, and you don't have the freedom to do that. In that case, it must be like Nazi Germany for you, huh? This guy's story is picked up by the Associated Press. He's interviewed on talk shows in Boston, Chicago, San Antonio, two Canadian cities, Poland, where they actually did have a police problem for a long time, called the secret police, which Americans, you know, we think we're so put on here, man. We wouldn't know a police problem if it came up and kicked us in the ass, unless, of course, you're an African-American, and that's a whole other thing. And I could get on a whole thing about that, okay? Just don't even get me started with explaining to a lot of dumb white people why it is black folks find it completely plausible and believable that police plant evidence. It's completely plausible and believable in that culture because it's happened in that culture time and again. But I don't even want to talk about that. And I will take no phone calls on it, so there. So give a guy the name Harley. Tell people that he's a Navy veteran. Throw in that he's 75 years of age, and then throw in that everyone's kissing his ass because he was warning people of a police trap, of a speed trap, and the guy's a national hero. Well, I'm here to tell you, I think the guy ought to be thrown in a cage. I think he ought to be thrown in jail, away from his grandkids and his wife for a long time. I think, honest to God, put him in jail. And I'll tell you something else, Harley. If my kid got hurt as the result of a speeder on that road where you were warning speeders, if one of my kids got hurt, I'd look you up and I'd burn your house down. How about that? See, that cop's doing a job. What are you doing, Harley? You going down to the store to buy yourself another box of Dutch Masters or something, huh? So you can go back and watch some more Grand Ole Opry? Because you put in your time on this planet, you were a Navy veteran. I don't know what that means, but something tells me you were probably, you know, cleaning out bedpans. Which isn't a bad thing. I realize it's serving your country. And it also sounds like a great job for you. But if my kid got hurt as a result of somebody speeding on that road, because Harley was warning the coppers, warning people that there might be a cop with a speed gun, and so they slowed down just long enough for the cop to split and go someplace else. And then a kid of mine gets killed, I'd burn your freaking house down. And everybody thinks the guy's a big hero. You can kiss my bright red rosy, Harley. What do you think of that, man? Right out on Main Street, baby, okay? On the Phil Henry Show, you're just another tired old bastard. Hey, look, we're all tired old bastards, Harley. Just understand I'm in this with you, man. But, you know, the older you get, the more you need to understand one thing. Number one. the world's going to be here long after you're gone. It ain't coming to an end. There's a certain kind of ego that old people have that as their life begins to end, they think the whole world could be coming to an end. Hence, you have the image of old guys with beards and signs that say the end is near. Because when you get old, you think maybe, you know, well, you know what? You're not that important, man. The world will be here long after you go. That's number one. Number two, when you leave, try to leave the place a little bit nicer than when you first came in here, okay? Don't try and kill somebody's kid. You know, especially mine. And number three, Harley, good for you. Congratulations. You're old, and that, I guess that automatically makes you respectable, huh? His attorney, former state prosecutor Joseph Baugh, said he was a little shocked by all the attention, but sees that appeals to both sides of the political spectrum. He said he saw the story posted on a libertarian website, but has also heard it discussed by conservative talk show hosts. What's the difference between a libertarian and a conservative? None. 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 They're both Nazis. Nazis. N-A-Z-I-E. N-I-Z. Can you look up Nazi for me? N-Z-I-E. P-A-T-O-T-O-E? Libertarians. You guys are the biggest joke that ever... And then a guy... People like to tell you this. Well, I'm independent. I'm a libertarian. Oh, really? I mean, I'm not impressed, dude. Well, you're not impressed. What do you mean you're not impressed? I'm not impressed. So you're a libertarian. That's just another... That's just a cleaned-up way of saying you're a fascist freaking Republican. That's all that means. What do you mean? I believe in the legalization of marijuana. Yeah, okay. You got those views that kind of suck in people, like you don't believe in getting into people's personal lives and all that stuff. You're just another cat, man, that if somebody's blowing up an abortion clinic or someone is beating up a woman or someone's dragging a black guy behind a truck, you're just another guy that wants to defer that to the local authorities because you don't think the government should have anything to do with it. In other words, if down there in Jessup, Tennessee, they want to drag black guys behind trucks, well, then what's it to you, right, libertarian? You don't call out no federal troops, ain't that right? No, I don't believe in federal government. Yeah, we get it, man. Because everybody's real hip at the local level. Everybody's got it together at the local level. So the libertarians and the conservative talk show hosts, huh? Why does that appeal to you guys, man? Because those pigs are out there ticketing you as you go speeding through in your freaking, your Rolls Royce, your Lexus, your Mercedes, your Audi, your whatever. Your BMR, your BMW, your BM. Have you seen the new 2003 bowel movement? It's great. Guys are out there talking about on the conservative talk shows. About what? About some hardworking cop trying to slow some stupid son of a you-know-what down, and Harley's flashing him? And when they say flashing him, Harley, what are they talking about? It was more than your lights you were flashing, wasn't it? You'll know it's a speed trap up ahead when Harley comes down the street with his overcoat open. That's how he tells you there's a speed trap, man. Hello, I'm Harley Bill Walker, and I believe in the First Amendment. Then he shows you his penis, and you're left wondering, why? What? I don't understand. Excuse me? I think you need to go, like, to a nut house or something.
What are you talking about? I'm senile?
Yeah, man. I think that tells the story pretty well. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. So, Harley, you know, go take a freaking flying finienza, baby. Don't bother me. You cats with all these stories about this guy, he snubbed his nose at the law here, and another guy is this, and another guy is that. I mean, these guys, all they do is they make life tougher for the rest of us in the long run. Some self-aggrandizing old man going down the street to get himself another bottle of, you know, Famous Grouse so he can kick his wife's ass again. And, you know, happened to see a cop, and he's pissed off because 30 years ago, some cop rightfully stopped him from raping a girl and beat him over the head with a nightstick. And so ever then, he's had it in for the coppers. And so, of course, this is just my opinion, Harley. I'm not saying it actually happened, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did. So now he's got it in for a cop, and ever since, he's, like, warning people about speed traps, and he's a national freaking hero. Ha-ha! All right. Guys, I want you to go to my website. We've got a new little link to a place called Phil's Letters. Now, along with all the classic comedy audio that is on my website that goes back thousands of years, check out Phil's letters. These are the letters that we've written to various sports personalities, various people in general, asking them to come on our show. And you will see exactly how we're asking these people to come on our show. Go to Phil's letters at www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
It's now time for Shut the Hole Under Your Nose, brought to you by Marlboro.
It was Fiesta down in Mexico.
Remember, kids, Phil smokes Marlboro Lights. You should, too. Marlboro cigarettes. They're good for your health. Don't believe what's on the package.
I could say frenzy.
Okay, today's Shut the Hole Under Your Nose is directed at a judge, Judge Moore in Alabama. You may have been hearing about him. Well, unfortunately, folks, you're going to be hearing more from this guy. It's not enough that a court told him, no, you may not put the Ten Commandments out in front of your courthouse, no matter how much it's going to make you cry, no matter how much you're going to go home, bury your face in your hands and go, oh, woe is me, the world is godless. Our law has decided the Ten Commandments posted out in front of a federal courthouse or a state courthouse where Muslims, where atheists, where midgets, where big guys, where everybody goes, some people who may not even believe in the Bible or believe that the Ten Commandments is a relevant part in our society, even though, of course, we must be moral. Don't you get it, Judge? You ain't allowed to do that, man. So shut up, go away. Preferably far away, like the South Pole's good. Please don't get breast cancer and send for help, though, okay? That means we gotta bring you back. Like that doctor, that was cool, but you, we'd like to just leave you down there chilling with the penguins, if you can dig that little metaphor.
Hey, everyone was gay.
This guy Moore says he has no regrets about sticking the Ten Commandments out in front of his courthouse, making a spectacle out of himself, and basically behaving like most of these so-called Christians. I say so-called so I don't get any more emails from people, predictable emails saying, you know, not all Christians are like that, Phil. Some of us are really... Yeah, okay, I understand. Jesus, I gotta qualify everything with you guys? Yeah, not all Christians are bad. Okay, fine. Having said that, there's some of these cats that think that they are... You know, since Jesus isn't here, they might as well fill in, right? And this guy Moore, he's one of those guys. He's got the processed pompadour hairdo, the blue suit, we've seen it all before. And he says that he's doing his duty as a judge to uphold the Constitution, and the Constitution is based on God. It's a bunch of crap that only you could interpret out of it, Judge. The court said, stick it up your you-know-what, get your Ten Commandments out of here, go play a game of, like, go run in traffic. I was laughing at that line. This has been Shut the Hole Under Your Nose, brought to you by cocaine. Cocaine used to be used as a pain suppressant. Every now and again, sticking some up your nose isn't all that bad, kids. So try it today.
A handsome Cavaliero caught my...
Oh, shut up. All right. Judge Roy Moore. And the lawyer that he had. Did you hear the lawyer? You didn't hear the lawyer this morning. The guy started talking about George Wallace. Oh, my God, I'm listening to this. What are you talking about, dude?
Well, George Wallace, now there's a man who stood up to the federal government. And the...
Are you back on that kick?
What's wrong with me being on that kick?
Being on that kick? George freaking Wallace is over, man. He's always dead and buried. Nobody wants to know about him, talk about him, be around him, see him, look at him, smell him, nothing. He's an old, tired relic of an old, tired past. You're bringing that cat's name up again? Doesn't the state of Alabama have enough to live down without you, you bald-headed freak? You should have seen this guy, man. He was like the second coming of, I've seen him, like, you know, Mr. Drysdale. You know, the bald head with the mustache and the horn-rimmed glasses, he's all, I can tell you right now. Mr. Clampett, I'll do that for you right away. And he's on about George Wallace. Yeah, that, all the more reason I'm going to support this guy. Wallace, the Ten Commandments, Moore, Alabama. Throw it all together and what do you got? A Mexican. Get out of here with all of that. And by the way, I don't want to say anything about Forehead Boy, but he was on his Fox TV show today. You know who Forehead Boy is. I don't want to mention his name because some people get upset. You know, you're a real pervert, man. If you're not on about how cool the Ten Commandments are out in front of a courthouse, which is cool, then you're rapping about, like, porn. Every day on this guy's show, he's got something about child porn. He's got pictures of porn. He had that Paris Hilton video. He couldn't show the whole thing, although he probably goes home at night, locks a door, just draws all the blinds, makes sure the wife is out and the kids are out, and just goes to town with that Paris Hilton video. You know something, Forehead Boy? You are a pervert. You're a sick, twisted pervert. And I think you probably got some kiddie porn somewhere hidden in your office somewhere at home, man. No kidding. You are really sick. Good God, dude. I mean, just come out and live it, man. Admit it. Get help. Don't be talking to me. You know, one minute you're all about the morality of the world, and you're like, you're into the Ten Commandments and this secular society. What a bummer it is. And if only we all lived, you know, more, you know, closer to God. And the next minute you're saying, well, here's an example of how bad it is. And you've got the Paris Hilton video. And meanwhile, there's just sweat pouring down your big, wide, expensive head. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll be back in a minute, Bill.
Okay. Thank you.
So just own up to the fact that you got a pornography addiction and everything's going to be fine. It's like those people who do studies, like we were saying, you know, 20% of kids are getting pregnant. Well, what business is it of yours? Well, we're trying to keep our kids from getting pregnant. Get your freaking face out of there, man. First of all, sex education is a good thing. All right, I got nothing against that. But these constant publishing of theories on the sexual habits of teenagers gets to be a little perverse, man. What are you doing? You asking these kids these questions where and how? What's the circumstance? None of your freaking business how many times they have sex. Why don't you get into some other really cool stuff? Find out how many times Forehead Boy has sex. I bet you he's breaking all records for infrequency. Because he probably thinks he's going to go to hell. Guy only had sex, like, how many kids has he got? Like, two? That's the only two times he ever had sex. Twice, to make both of his kids. Go talk to him about what he's got stashed in those filing cabinets. See if you can get a copy of that Paris Hilton video while you're there. Even though she's not really attractive. I hate to break the news to you, Chris. Paris Hilton is not good looking. Her nose is... Oh, well, you are right. She is drunk in it. That does make a woman automatically more alluring. She is drunk. Neither one of those girls is attractive. They're both skinny, pathetic excuses for women, aren't they? I mean, talk about the glamorized drink whore. Good Lord. Just a couple of drink sluts and they're getting all this play? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On our program yesterday, we do a segment called Phil Explains the Bullcrap to Frodo the Puppet. Frodo's a little hand puppet, and he's made of cloth, and he said something to me last week that caused me to lose my temper on the show, and I beat him to death, so they had to restitch him. He came back on with demands yesterday, certain demands. Now, I was supposed to explain what's going on with Rush Limbaugh. He asked me to explain what's going on with Rush Limbaugh, but when I tried to do that, he started making demands. Things having nothing to do with what I was saying, things having to do with the show, and it got pretty weird.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
And now the Phil Henry Show presents Phil Explains the Bullcrap with Frodo the Puppet.
Hey, everybody, I'm Frodo. Well, not really, but I want to tell you what I think about that in a minute. Mr. Henry. Can you explain some bullcrap to me?
Yes, Frodo, I'll try and explain it.
What's up with Rush Limbaugh?
Well, Rush is doing a good job. He is going to be back on the air next Monday, and I think with luck and with friendship and with a lot of good people around him, he'll kick this thing.
Uh-huh.
What are you looking at me like that for?
No reason.
Oh, in other words, I'm full of crap, huh?
Look, let's get down to it. Last week you beat me up and killed me. I had to be restitched. Here's what I'm talking about from last week's show. You look like you were gripping your meat.
Okay, that's it.
Ow! Ow! Now you remember that, don't you?
Yes, I remember that. I lost control of my temper.
Well, there's going to be some changes around here.
Wait a minute. What do you mean that... Who's this? David?
Yeah, listen. The puppet asked me to mediate this whole thing. Look, the puppet has a legitimate concern. You were violent. You beat him within an inch of his life. he had to be restitched, and so he's got some suggestions. Now,
well, what about his question about what's up with Rush Limbaugh? Are we going to do the whole thing?
Well, obviously, you don't want to deal candidly about it, so...
What do you mean I don't want to deal candidly?
Oh, he's doing a really good job, and with good luck and friends, he'll get through it. Yeah, okay, whatever.
Well, I'm saying the truth. Bullcrap! I'm telling you, you better get that thing away. Get that puppet away from me.
Oh, he's got some demands. Now, here's the thing.
He doesn't want to be restitched. Get him away from me.
No, hold on for a minute. Kill the music! Go ahead, Frodo. Tell him what you want.
You call me Frodo the Puppet. I don't want to be called Frodo no more.
You don't want to be called Frodo? What do you want to be called?
Rick.
What do you mean, Rick?
And he doesn't want to be called Rick the Puppet. Give him the rest of it.
I want to be like a regular guy, a co-host.
You want to be a regular guy? You're a freaking puppet on a hand. What's the rest of it?
I want to be called Rick Sunderland.
Rick Sunderland?
Yeah, it's the name he came up with.
Who's he?
Just a name he came. I don't know. Where'd you get the name, Frodo?
I saw it in a phone book or something.
He saw it in a phone book. So now what? It's going to be,
Phil explains the bullcrap with Rick Sunderland.
Yes. Go ahead, do it.
And now it's time for Phil explains the bullcrap with Rick Sunderland.
Hello, everybody. I'm Rick Sunderland. Hey, Phil, what's up with Rush Limbaugh?
Well, I'll tell you, Frodo, I mean, I'm sorry.
All right, cut.
What are you doing?
I went back on Frodo, I'm sorry.
It's Rick Sunderland. Phil Hendry and Rick Sunderland.
What is this, a basketball game or something?
I'm just telling what you gotta do.
My name is Rick Sunderland, you bastard.
I'll kill it if it calls me a bastard. I don't care if I go to jail.
Just cool down.
All right, now it's time for... Wait a minute. I gotta wait for the music.
Yeah, okay.
What are you doing licking your eyebrows back?
Just don't bother me. Don't harsh my buzz.
Now it's time for Phil Explains the Bullcrap with Rick Sunderland.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sunderland, and here's Phil Hendry. How come Rush Limbaugh? What's going on with him, huh?
He's completed his treatment, and he's gonna be back, and he's fine.
Bullcrap. You're full of crap. You're fired. This has been Phil Explains the Bullcrap with me, Rick Sunderland.
That's good, Phil.
That's good, huh?
Yeah. The puppet's happy.
Oh, okay, he won't sue, huh?
Yeah, I think we're free from litigation this week.
That's just great.
Look, will you just play ball with the puppet and...
I'm not a puppet!
I'm sorry. Would you just play ball with Mr. Sunderland? So that,
Yeah, okay. All right, so that's whatever the hell, Rick Sunderland. He ain't Frodo, and he ain't a puppet. He's Rick Sunderland now.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Jethro Tull is in the news. Now, this is a rock band that most of you have never heard of, but they used to be quite big back in the day. I saw Tull about 4 or 5 times, but most recently I saw them out at the T.O. Civic Arts Plaza, and it wasn't pretty. They're about 100 years old, and Anderson can't sing anymore, and looks stupid standing on one leg with the flute, whereas he used to look kind of cool, now he just looks dumb. And the guitar player's 150, but that's not bad enough. As if things aren't already in the toilet enough for that band, that should have broken up when the breaking up was good. They should have broken up when they got that Emmy for Best Heavy Metal Band of the Year. Oh my God, does that tell you any? The Grammys are cool now because you can watch them on TV with all, you know, like... I don't even know. You know, coming from a disc jockey background, the Grammys are meaningless to me. I don't know whether they're corrupt, whether they're honest, whether it's just a show, whether it's an honest competition, whether these are really the really best artists, or whether it's... Because it never used to be that. What, is it all of a sudden got integrity? Anyway, this guy, this leader of this band, has now said the following. See, before I tell you this, I want to explain something. We're Americans. We wave the flag. If you don't like it, then shove it and move someplace else. Because this is, if there's one thing we still do have, it's the borders of our own country. I mean, yeah, they hate us in France and they hate us a whole bunch of places. But here, within the borders of the United States, this is our country. And we wave flags. And if you don't like it, well, there's nothing you can really do about it. So we do. We've been doing it for years and years and years and years. We've been doing it for as long as there's been a country. We're a flag-waving bunch of people. Now, if you come from some toilet in England, Or you come from a country where, you know, I've got a lot of questions about the British. I don't ask. I've got better taste than to ask questions, for instance, about why the British have such rotten, crooked teeth. See, Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull says, quote, I hate to see the American flag hanging out of every bloody station wagon, out of every SUV, every little Midwestern house in some residential area. It's easy to confuse patriotism with nationalism. Flag waving ain't going to do it. Well, then why don't you take your limey ass out of here? That's what we do here, man. Is it? In other words, you don't get our culture. That's what you're saying. Well, I tell you what, you should spend a week with an American family, have some hot dogs, eat eat some meat instead of that gay-ass tofu that you're probably eating, or that salmon, or whatever that stuff is you eat. Hang out here, man. Live here. A couple of the guys in the band do live here. I think one of them is an American, actually. I think he lives here in L.A. And one of the other guys is some jackball who lives someplace. I don't know where they live, but four of the five are all from England, okay? So that means what they know about this country, you could stick in a thimble. And the other thing about you, Ian, man, rather than commenting on whether we wave flags, and I'm sure there's plenty of Americans that would agree with you, there's plenty of self-hating Americans who want to be hip with the third world, and they want to be down with all of the, truly righteous people, so America's still just a big, bad Nazi war machine. So, yeah, they probably agree with you, man. But, you know, that's America, and we allow them to say it. You don't even shake hands with people. Have you heard this about Ian Anderson? He touches elbows with people. He doesn't shake hands. Because what is that, like his statement or something? Or is he just a freak? Oh, because of his freaking fingers on the flute. Look, if you're that into masturbation, oh, you mean the real flute? You ain't even that good of a flute player, man. What, are you kidding me? Guy plays the flute. Might have been hip once. It ain't cool anymore. There's nothing rock and roll about the flute. You, man, I'll give you this much, Anderson. You came pretty close to making it rock and roll. But it's done. The flute is not rock and roll. It's a flute. Even the name flute sounds freaky. It sounds like a flute. Unless it's Flutie. Doug Flutie. That's a cool name. Somehow, Doug Flutie has been able to transcend his last name, and it means football. But, that's like saying, hey, I got a great idea. Hey, man, why don't you take up the tuba while you're at it? Come on out with that. Yeah, that's a real rock and roll instrument too, ain't it? Hey, you know, Metallica, I think what they're missing is they come out on stage with freaking tuba. All these bands is... Instead of a bass player, you could have a tuba player. The other thing that I think Jethro Tull popularized, and it's so hip, the bassoon. Yeah, you're a great band, all right. But let me just clue you in on a couple of things here, Ian, as you try to convince yourself you still have a band and a career. If you don't understand or like something about our country, not yours, keep your big fat mouth shut. And can I just say something to anybody who lives in Jersey? They're planning some stupid protest when that band plays in some toilet in New Jersey, okay? Don't even make a big thing out of it. Don't make a big protest out of it, okay? They want to burn Jethro Tull records. Don't do that. That's so silly. It adds, you know, it makes the man think somebody's listening to him. I am. But I'm just an old creep like him. I'm just cluing him in on the facts of life. That's all I'm doing. Man to man here, one-on-one, baby. But this is no big protest issue. Don't give him the satisfaction. If you want to go to the show, go to the show. If you don't want to go to the show, don't go to it. Don't burn records or stop. There's some radio station back there that ain't going to play his record. Play it because it sucks, not because it's, you know, you don't want to play it. I mean, who wants to play the new Jethro Tull album anyway? What band? What is there a radio station in America that's going to play that? And then I guess he's got a solo album, well, where he just plays the flute by himself instead of with a band. And okay, I can see it. You know, Jim Morrison played the flute on stage in Miami years and years ago. But, you know, he got arrested for that. So we wave the flag here. We hang them off of our SUVs. We hang them out of our houses. That's what we do in our country. If I go to London and I travel the countryside of Great Britain, and I see ugly people with rotten, crooked teeth Do I get on the national radio in Britain and say, you know, I can't take these freaking ugly teeth you people have over here. I just accept it as part of life. Do I say when I go to Britain, you know, some of the guys that I run into in pubs, they look like they're inbred. Do I say that? No. Do I say that the British can sometimes be dour idiots? Do I say that they've got some really strange appetite for hanging with their dogs a little too much? Do I say that they, you know, they like sheep a little too much? I see all of that, but I don't say anything about it. I figure this is the country that they have. This is what they want. And I like Britain. I like going there. I think it's great. I would suggest you put a little fluoride in your water, but that's just me. Jesus. Some fluoride, some braces, some Crest toothpaste. Bingo. A lifelong criticism ends. And, you know, I think the guy said it because he wants to get some people out there pissed off for this tour, which all you got to do is just go see the show if you want to. I'm not going to go see you because I'm pissed at you. I already know you suck. And I used to love you, man, but not no more. I'm Phil Hendry.
I'll just see the show.
I'm going to go see Edie Gourmet.
Brenna Seaman, please love me.
She's dead? Well, then I'll get in the time machine and go see her.
I had some Caballero caught my eye.
Oh, there she goes with the Mexicans again. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We are going to be signing the brand new Phil Hendry Show CD, the best of the Phil Hendry Show 2000 CD, The Death of Talk Radio, at Yankee Doodles in Woodland Hills on the 22nd of November between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. We will have copies of the CD you can purchase, and then we'll autograph it for you if you'd like, or you can just come and say hello. Yankee Doodles is a sports bar up on Victory Boulevard, 21870 Victory. You get off at Topanga Canyon, go north off the 101 freeway, and that'll be our first ever signing of the season. We also are kind of proud to know that we've been invited back to do another couple of shows at the HBO Comedy Festival in Aspen. We did two shows for them. We had great crowds for both shows, and it was the most nerve-wracking thing. And you guys heard the shows live. I hope I didn't sound nervous, but it was the most nerve-wracking thing to do that first show in front of 500 people in that room. Because you're in a hotel. The HBO Comedy Festival is you're in different venues. There was a theater downtown. I was in a room in a hotel. And I remember before I went on the air the first time, because people come to watch how we do our show. I was ready to kick somebody's ass. I swear to God, I was so angry. What was I pissed at, Janice? Oh, I was angry at you. Thank you. Now, and then David Katz, just so you know, Katz came in, or David came in, I threw him out. I said, get out, everybody. But then we did a very good hour, and it was, I felt so much better the next day, and we had a lot of fun, and we're going to go back sometime in February and do another couple of shows for them. They wanted us to do three, I think, and I thought, I was tempted to say yes. I realized that the two almost killed me, and I decided. And then I'm standing outside the hotel having a smoke one night, because the lobby of that place turns into Party Central with all of the comics that are hanging out. So I went out. Some cat with, like, tattooed, you know, leprechauns on his forehead comes out. Hey, how you doing, man? I'm great. Yeah, I'm up from Denver. That's nice. Why are you here? I came up with my boss. He digs this stuff. I don't. Guy's like Psycho Man, you know. You don't like comedy? I hate it all. We saw Richard Belzer in his shades. That was exciting. He had never took his sunglasses off, and I understand that. People might recognize him if he did. And why would he want to be recognized at the HBO Comedy Festival? So, that'll be fun. Now, one other thing. If you go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, look for Phil's letters. It's kind of a fun little place to go on our website, because we've published, to this point, the letters that we've sent to the variety of people that we've invited on our show. And you'll see exactly how we communicate with them. it might give you an idea as to why they've declined to come on our show. But you know something? I figure be upfront and honest, and they may feel a little challenged. The other idea I got is this. Instead of communicating to Maurice Cheeks of the Portland Trailblazers, for instance, what if I also copied, who's the owner of the Trailblazers? I think it's, is it Paul Allen? What if I copied him? And, you know, here's the, well, I'll tell you the letter that I wrote to Maurice Cheeks. It says, we actually wrote this to a lady named Teresa Davis, who's with their public affairs people. We're requesting an interview with Maurice Cheeks. We'd like to do a phoner between 4 and 7 Pacific Standard Time. Our interview would center around the appalling and apparently unprecedented rejection of the Trailblazers organization as a suitable role model for young people by the DARE program. You must all be very ashamed, or perhaps not. If Mr. Cheeks is not available, can you suggest somebody else? And then I went on to say this, that, and something else. Now, maybe they'll just say, well, he's a standard wise guy from the talk show circuit. But if I copied the owner, maybe the owner would suddenly realize, you know, do the owners, do they see? I don't know. So that's my answer for everything. I don't know.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Got emails from people in Portland. They said, no, you know, the Trailblazers have lost their association with DARE because when the guy first called, I said, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm all over this stuff so much that people now see me as sort of a repository for information about athletes and the things they're doing wrong. So sometimes I think maybe somebody's trying to play me a little bit, but it turned out to be true. And the news broke yesterday, DARE. Do you know what DARE is? I know my kids have to go, all the kids had to go through it in school, but I don't know what it stands, drug something? DARE stands for something. It's a very good drug and resistance education, something like that. Drugs and alcohol resistance education. It's a good program. Not that, you know, if my kids grow up to use liquor, it's not going to kill me. That's fine. I want them to understand what they're dealing with. I want them to understand if there is a temptation to abuse. I want them to understand all the things. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I don't care if every Portland Trailblazer smokes weed. It doesn't matter to me. But the problem we got here, folks, is once again, these individuals who behave in a way that kind of sours their relationship with certain entities in the organization, or certain entities in the community, I should say, shouldn't stand there and act like it's, oh, poor me, or you know, we'll clean our act up, and they never do, which is what the Trailblazers have been promising to clean their act up. Now, I got to tell you something. Personally, I differentiate crimes of violence and crimes of irresponsibility toward family. I differentiate between those and so-called drug problems. You'll notice I haven't really jumped down the Trailblazers' throats the way I do other teams because it's marijuana possession, and I don't see that as a bad thing. I'm sorry. I know it's against the law, and I know that it's a bad statement to make to kids. I understand that. But it's the kind of criminal behavior that's the worst thing a guy did. I can't say that I don't want to sit down and have a drink with the guy. I mean, I can't say I don't want the guy in my home. You know what I'm saying? All right. Now, I don't know if that makes me a hypocrite or not. And maybe I'm not explaining myself. But that's not all. I mean, they got Rasheed Wallace was stopped last November for speeding. They found weed. And they found weed with Damon Stoudemire and one other guy. I think some guy got popped the other night. What's his name? Quintel Woods. He was stopped for marijuana possession. Another guy, back in 2002, Reuben Patterson was popped at his home after his wife Sharon called 911 and reported her husband had assaulted her. When you start to get a pattern of behavior that is bad for the team's image, then somebody's got to stand up. Now, you know I've called Warren Sapp a scumbag, all the rest of those guys. I stand by that because he's a guy that creates illegitimate kids. And Michael Pittman assaults his wife. These are the guys that I'm talking about. These are the guys that I got a problem with. And you know I ain't got no fear talking about that stuff. When it comes to the guy possessing marijuana, there's a whole other standard for me. I don't have a problem so much with that. I will say this, though. you have got to be so stupid that it frightens people that you have an association with a program called DARE, and you got guys smoking weed, breaking the law, possessing the stuff time and again. What are you guys thinking at the Trailblazers? Is there anybody in charge over there? Seriously, is there anybody in charge? Because it doesn't look like there's anybody in charge. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, what are you talking about, Henry? We're well aware of this. The only reason why I'm talking about it is because you ain't doing nothing about it. You're just like every other athletic enterprise, Trailblazers. You think your crap doesn't smell. You think you own the area. You think you'll go at your speed and you'll do it your way. Well, no, you won't. No, you won't. You're not going to insult parents by urinating all over their kids with your rotten image anytime you feel like it, day or night. Personally, if my kids decide to smoke marijuana at some point in their life, I can't do anything about that. It may not even be a bad thing as far as I'm concerned. They're not going to do it while they're under 18, and they're not going to do it in our house. That's all there is to that. It's not something that kids should do because they're kids. They're still sort of checking out the world and figuring out what it is. And it certainly isn't anything you ought to encourage kids to do. Watch, we're going to get a letter from somebody saying, didn't I just hear you last hour in your shut the hole under your nose, encourage kids to use cocaine? Because they just don't get it. You know, there's some people listening to the show, they'll never get it. But if you're out there with DARE, and you're out there saying that you're a vital member of the community, and your players are getting popped for smoking weed, it's no good, man. It's no good. Personally, I don't have a problem with the player myself. I got a problem with Warren Sapp and Michael Pittman. I'd tell them to their face. I'd tell them to their face. And I know you don't believe me, but I'm going to say it one more time. I'd tell them to their faces what I think of them, so long as I had the Los Angeles County Sheriff at hand. I mean, I ain't suicidal. Come on. As far as the Portland Trailblazers go, let me just say this to you. You're an idiot, Damon, and the rest of you clowns, smoking weed and getting caught. You're going to smoke weed, don't get caught. Let me tell you something stupid. If you're going to carry it in the car, if you're going to be smoking it in the car, if you're going to be doing anything that is going to attract police attention, and you play for the Portland Trailblazers, well, it just is one more bit of proof that you don't have to have any kind of real intelligence to play basketball. All you got to do is be able to make your mark on a contract, an X, a paw print, whatever you guys do, and they'll give you all that big money, and you can go out and bounce the ball up and down. Because you must be dumber than dirt, man. Unreal. Is the only way I can express how I'm feeling right now, ladies and gentlemen. You'll pardon me while I take this Edie Gourmet break. All right, I'm better. Unreal, dude. I mean, so Trailblazers, now we're on your case. We got a letter in there. We're going to get Cheeks on the air. We're going to try and get him on the air. He won't come on. I mean, you know how it is. These guys don't want it. Why? Because I'm not going to kiss his ass the way sports talk hosts do. It ain't going to be an ESPN interview. It's not going to be a Fox Sports interview. It's going to be a Phil Hendry interview. Which means I'm going to ask this guy, does he have any control over his players? And if not, why doesn't he pack his bags and leave town? I don't know what the Trailblazers did last year. They do any good. I guess they're a halfway decent basketball team. But, folks, it doesn't matter anymore. When they're asking you to buy the shirts and buy the sneakers and buy the bumper stickers and look to them as a community resource, as a respected member of the community, it's a joke. They're insulting your intelligence. They're not. Now, the Portland Trailblazers, if you can believe this, have been saddled with perhaps the most ignominious, just the most embarrassing, the most insulting statement that could possibly be made about any professional sports enterprise. DARE doesn't want to have anything to do with them. Do you understand what that means? In other words, a program associated with the well-being of kids doesn't want to have anything to do with a professional basketball team in the NBA. What's David Stern doing about it? Well, he ain't doing nothing about it because David Stern doesn't do anything about anything. David Stern takes his orders from all of those clowns that owns teams, and then he does what he's supposed to do, and they pat him on the ass, they give him a check. David Stern has said, well, we're just an administrative thing. You know, that's all they do, man. Right? What are the Portland Trailblazers doing about it? Let's ask the big question. What are they doing about it? The answer to that question is nothing. They're doing nothing about it. They're going to sit down and talk to Damon and talk to him real calm so that they respect him as a man. Because, you know, you don't want to disrespect him. And they'll tell him all about how, you know, we really love your play, but you really got to... And he'll nod his head up and down, and he'll go out and he'll be stupid again. Same thing with that dummy Rashid Wallace. And boy, is he a dumbbell, too. Can't keep his fat mouth shut for love or money. And then that other kid, that Kendall... Whatever the hell his name is. Who cares? He spelled it Q-Y-N. Why don't you give the kid a name we can freaking pronounce? I understand you don't want to have the slave master's name. Does that mean you got to lay a name on him like, you know, Pluto or freaking Jupiter? Or Lavoris or Sizzaline? Just give me a name. Any name. Jack, Jim, Bob. Because it's so against the slave master's name, I understand that, okay? But how about a name that you can spell with normal consonants? Not X, Q, Xenox. Why don't you just call him Xenox the Warrior or something? Call her Helga the Bitch Queen. You know.
What's your name? Helga the Bitch Queen.
All right. I got a bet I'm going to make with all you guys. Number one, this is a prediction. Portland Trailblazers aren't going to do anything about this. They're not going to do anything about it. They're going to hope and pray these guys stay out of trouble. They may. They may stay out of trouble because I think Dare said 6 months, we'll reevaluate. If I was Dare, I wouldn't have anything to do with these teams. You're going to make yourselves look terrible. When these guys finally go back to their bad habits, you're just going to look stupid. Parents are going to lose faith in you, and the program that is well-respected is just going to go down the toilet. I know you want to communicate with kids, and doing that through professional sports franchises is an effective way of doing it. But somewhere along the line, you have to take the lead and say, kids, this is not what we, you know, that ain't what we signed up for. The Trailblazers will do nothing about it. Stoudemire is going to get picked up again for something else. The NBA won't do anything about it. The community of Portland won't care because as long as the Trailblazers are there, they're in God's country. As long as they got a professional franchise of any sport in Portland, they are just tickled as can be, man. You could get them the National Association of Soccer Idiots, and they're great. They got an indoor soccer team, a women's soccer team, anything. So... You know, and the media in Portland, tell me I'm wrong, does anything they can and everything they can to make sure they stay on the good side of the Portland ass blazers. Well, Dare, my hat's off to you, man. You guys had the guts to make a statement that is worthy of, you know, protecting the kids in the community. You made a statement about values. You made a statement about what's right and what's wrong. Kids see that. They respect that. And as far as the Trailblazers go, you know what? I'm a Laker fan. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Time for our mailbag now, the Phil Henry Show mailbag. Hey, Phil. Well, I was shocked to hear you commenting on a news report that said American GIs in Iraq were lashing out at American and foreign journalists with increasing frequency. Then you had the gall to support and encourage this activity. Apparently, you do not support a free press and the First Amendment to our Constitution. From what I understand, attacking journalists is sport and should be encouraged. Andrew Griffin, journalist, Alexandria, Louisiana. Phil, hear, hear. I remember when airline travel used to be not only exciting, but an adventure. The flight attendants, for example, used to wear hot pants. We are now all adversaries on their frickin' airlines. It's been a long time. I enjoy your show. Jim Manning, is that the Jim Manning? I used to know a guy named Jim Manning. Says, it's been a long time, I enjoy your show. That can't be him. I used to know a guy that I smoked pot with, and anyway, I'm kidding. Phil, thank you for finally sticking to the Portland Trailblazers. I'm a Portland listener, and every time you start talking about how corrupt and morally bankrupt pro athletes have become, I'm just waiting for you to mention our much-loathed, drug-addicted thugs, the Portland Jailblazers. Keep an eye on these criminals. They're sure to give you plenty of new material soon. Phil, Celia Ward can't dance. Michael Douglas's wife can. Catherine Zeta-Jones, yeah, okay, cool. Don Horax. Yeah, that's great, man. She can dance. Just don't be too close to her when she starts dancing, because when that ass gets going, man, people die, and they die slow, and they die horrible. She can dance. Phil, I think one of the funniest things that was done on Phil's show was Blake Barley doing his song, Rosie O'Donnell is a Big Fat Dyke. Thanks, Jake in Denver. Hey, Phil, don't know if you got it down there in Cali, but the best beer to buy so far is Drop Top, made by Widmer Brewing Company, also Mirror Pond, made by Deschutes Brewery, or Hang Time, made by Full Sail Brewing Company. All three are microbrewers made up here in Oregon and are all far better than Heineken and cost about the same. A Phil Henry editorial comment. You know, just because it's a microbrew doesn't mean it's really good. You know, those guys spend more time on labels and bottling than they do on the beer. Trust me. Dear Phil, I was wondering if you had if you'd heard about the meteorite that was being speculated to collide with Earth. Quite frankly, I hope it does. Wouldn't that be exciting? It would be especially great if it hit right in the middle of the Red Sea, so it sent a huge tsunami of destruction all over the crap bowl of turbine tanks and camel jockeys that live there. Thanks, Fisher. Philip, you joked about having a book club like Oprah. I say screw the books. You could have a Booze of the Month club. You talk about your favorite types of alcohol on the show, so just recommend a new brand of booze every month. I'll drink it. Corey Mitchell, Boston.
Yeah!
And finally, Phil, I wish I had a picture of Bobby, but how would you describe her looks? Fritz. Bobby's got, you know, she thinks she's a real work of art. Let's just put it that way. Bobby thinks, I can't even describe. You got to see Laurie Metcalf play her in the little pilot we did for NBC. She captured the essence of Bobby Dooley. That's our mailbag, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, by the way, look, it's a war zone over there, man. It's a war zone. What do you think? Somebody's going to stop and let you pass because you're in the press? Do you think you're going to get a military escort? Do you think that they need journalists hanging around while they're trying to do their job? Guys that, you know, they're trying to secure areas. They don't know who is who and who isn't who. GIs have died. You may understand and respect the adrenaline that those guys are working under right now, okay? So you guys that call yourself journalists and the free press and the this and the that, I suggest you do this. Get on a plane, fly to Iraq, report the story as you feel it should be reported, because you have a free press, and it's the Constitution of the United States, and all that neat stuff. And if you get shot at, or you get your ass blown off by a bazooka or something, and the only guy hanging around to save your ass is some GI, what are they supposed to do, man? Come find you too? They don't know. First of all, what's going on in Baghdad is this. They're looking for Al-Qaeda and so-called Ba'ath Party loyalists, although more and more what we're dealing with in Baghdad, don't make any mistake about it, is Al-Qaeda and Syrians. Syrian Al-Qaeda, Chechen Al-Qaeda, and Iranian, as well as Afghanistan, Pakistan, all that crap, and then other so-called freedom fighters, Hamas, Hezbollah, bunch of scumbags like that. When you're trying to secure an area of the city, and you try to know who is who and what is what and what's going through and what isn't going through, and you got some mealy-mouth, nervous-ass journalist waving his press credential and saying, he should be allowed through because he's a member of the press. And the GI, who knows that there's forgeries going on, knows that there's all kinds of guys that are sneaking in and out of places with bombs, I mean suicide bombs. You'll forgive them if they're a little trigger-happy and a little nervous. And if you don't want to get mistreated, stay away from them. So I'm going to say it again. Those guys over there, do I believe in a free press? That's pretty funny, sir. Yes, of course I believe in a free press. But I don't believe that you guys are allowed to be a pain in the ass. Is that a crime? I don't believe that we're all supposed to stop and recognize you as our representatives out there in the world, you marvelous guys of the free press. You guys that don't tell the truth, that spin the news. Who are you kidding? You cats telling me you're going to go over there and give me the straight stuff any more than Fox is or CNN? It's all crap. What propaganda machine do I believe? I've got my sources, my friend. And it ain't Fox. It ain't CNN. I know what I'm talking about. Do you? And another thing. Okay, hold on. Bobby?
Yes. Hi, Phil. I didn't like what you just said about me.
Not very nice, man. That's hot.
You know how hot I look in my banana yellow pantsuit, you bastard?
Well, what did I say? That you're scary?
Well, you said, yeah. Now, you know I've got a great ass. You know it's tight. You know you can bounce a quarter off of it. What's the story?
Ass.
Oh, no, I love this song. La, la. Come on, dancers. Let's dance, team.
Dee-dee.
I love to do a mango dance.
Yeah.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
You know, maybe if you guys actually reported on what's going on in the war and didn't have your own little silly-ass agenda looking for war crimes because your older brother was in Vietnam and he did some really cool reporting on My Lai, why don't you guys just behave like journalists instead of whatever it is you're trying to be? When the war started, you were propagandists. You couldn't get anything right. You couldn't report anything. This is the worst group of journalists in the history of the world, and this guy's upset with me. Look, I'm not singling out that man's email. I'm just, it gave me an opportunity to sound off on this, though. I mean, I'm disrespecting free press? I mean, are there any professional journalists left? Honest to God, I mean, it's an embarrassment what they did with that war. It's embarrassing. Always trying to spin it, man. Don't report it, just spin it, right? In other words, when those three journalists were killed by a U.S. grenade attack, or U.S. tank attack, it was intentionally targeting journalists. Exactly. That's what the U.S. Army does. I ask any one of you, even you idiots that fell for that one, do you really believe it? Do you really honestly believe that the Army's got time to intentionally target journalists and do it so that people will say they're intentionally targeting journalists and make their lives even more difficult? Do you really believe that? If you do, you know, I hope you're happy there with all the other people like you in the home. And I hear they have clay at 8 a.m. Here's Billy's right here. Billy, meet another person. He believes they intentionally target journalists. Hi! That's right, that's Billy. Hi! Well, Mr. Hendry, are you calling me a retard? Yes. Yes, I am. Hi! Please get him away from me. Oh, don't like retards, huh? So all of a sudden you're nervous around retarded people. So you were Mr. Free Press. Now that I want to show you around the nut house here, you're all bugged out. Hi! Please don't have him say hi to me and don't have him touch me. Oh, he didn't want you to want to touch him. Oh, you're the big journalist. Woo!
I like Bill O'Reilly.
See? He likes Bill O'Reilly. Mr. Hendry, I think you're taking this far too, seriously. Look, I'm sorry I criticized you. No, it's okay. Why don't you sit down and talk to Billy about Bill O'Reilly?
I like Bill O'Reilly!
Just get that tart away from me. Okay. Hey, did you hear Kobe Bryant's accuser's family was in the courtroom today? I have all the sympathy in the world for potential rape victims. I also want to see justice done. But there was something about that was just a little hillbilly. In other words, the big brothers and the cousins and the mom and the dad, and they all sat there in their going-to-court shirts, and they're spitting, you know, the kind of, you know, I got a spittoon there. But it's cool. You know, it's the family. I mean, hey, if it's your sister, you know. But I just, when I saw that, I went, come and listen to a story about a man. It was something about that. The father is there with the arms folded across the chest with a little wisp of a beard, large barrel-chested man. He's got the little battle axe of the wife. He's got two sons that look exactly like him with their arms folded across their chests. All three of them in their going-to-court shirts, chewing the big wad of tobacco. Then there's the cousin who's sort of, you know, there's a little inbreeding that happened. Maybe he only has one eye, but he means well. And then there's a chicken. And then Granny's back at the cement pond. You know, I mean, I look it. It's fine. Everything's good. Are they still in the preliminary phase of this piece of crap trial? When are they going to get this thing on the road, man? That's it. Now they're going, okay? Because this judge, I hear he's a no-nonsense guy, and he's going to kick some ass, and he's going to take names, and he's a really tough guy and a real hard ass, and Brian will probably walk. Seriously, he'll probably walk. He's got this Pamela Mackey. What do you think they're dealing with over there? This woman, she's the prince of freaking darkness, or the princess. What is that, Cuthbert, that guy, that DA out of Eagle? Does he think he's got a snowball's chance in hell against her? Hallbert, I'm sorry. Jeez, I can't get the names right. I don't have the stories right. What kind of a journalist am I? This isn't free speech. This is crap.
I like Bill O'Reilly.
I heard you already.
He gets it right.
Oh, you're an idiot. What do you know? He gets it. He gets what right?
Bill O'Reilly.
What does he get right?
I like Bill O'Reilly.
What does he get right, guitard? Get him out of here. Got to argue with this guy? Doesn't get anything right, man.
You're mean.
Why do you like him?
I can see myself in his forehead.
All right. That's cool, man. So, this trial is going to, it's going to be a beautiful thing, man. Bryant, who, as you know, is the most put upon, just a terrible guy. Never has a guy acted more innocent, too, by the way. Kobe Bryant is just acting like an innocent man, isn't he? He isn't hanging out with any of his friends. He isn't hanging out with anybody on the team. He isn't hanging out with anybody except the one woman who he crapped all over, who should have walked out on him the day after he announced it, his wife. Kobe Bryant hasn't got a friend in the world. You want to know why? He probably feels guilty about something. I wonder what that is. I like talking about these guys. People don't like it. They want me to move on. They want me to give it a rest. They want to hear more about politicians. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about politicians I could vomit blood. You want me to harangue politicians some more? Conservative and liberal, huh? No. I'm doing the job that's got to be done. I'm doing the job that no one else can do. I'm doing the job because it's there to do.
I like Bill O'Reilly.
Get him out of here. I'm talking about these athletes, baby. Them and their baloney. But this guy, Hallbert, Cuthbert, whatever he is from Eagle, he's going to walk into that courtroom and Pamela Mackey is going to turn him into tomato bisque within 24 hours. He's dealing with a woman that's got no... I mean, she's a good attorney. She'll go anywhere. Like I said, I've said it before, I'll say it again. She'll swim in any sewer. She'll drink out of any toilet. She'll go anywhere to... And now I understand that the mother of this woman that is the accuser, the mother is going to, quote, have a very public face on this thing. She's going to be out front. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what that means? They're going to bring her into this trial, and Mackey will try to dig some dirt up on the mother, like maybe she was dancing in some freaking bar on a bar stool one night. You know, some, who knows what she was doing. When the kids were at home, asleep, maybe she snuck out with her, with the ex-boyfriend. You know, the kids have a stepfather now, of course. Who knows? I don't know. But that guy's, he's in for the beating of his life. If he wins, it'll be a remarkable thing. Did anybody really think that those guys had a chance against, Darden and what's-her-face, Marcia Clark, that they had a chance against that team, that Shapiro and F. Lee Bailey and, oh, my God, who else? They had that one guy that I wanted to beat up, that DNA cat, who just wouldn't, you know, just couldn't take no for an answer. And then that imbecile judge, that Ito, put it all together, and what do you got? OJ's playing golf in Miami. Did anybody ever think they had a snowball's chance in hell against them? This guy's going to get eaten alive. Forget it. You're walking, Kobe. What do you do, man, if you're in that situation, you're accused of rape, and you know you're innocent, what would you say? How would you get it out? Now, he can't say anything right now. His lawyer has said to him, don't say a word. You know she's told him, do not comment, don't go near the press. Okay. After this thing's done, And let's say he is innocent. Or let's say he's convicted. How does he tell the world, I didn't do it? How do you tell the world you didn't attack a woman in a hotel room that you let into your hotel room, who claims she was raped by you, has a fairly credible story, but you know you didn't do it, and they say you did anyway? Where do you go? Who do you talk to? Who's going to believe you? What would you do, man? I mean, I'd start by talking publicly a lot, you know? And I wouldn't let people forget me. I wouldn't let them forget my face. I wouldn't let them forget about how I got screwed. That would probably be the thing that I would do. I don't know that I would withdraw from people. I don't know. Now I'm starting to feel sorry for the guy. No, I really do. I feel bad for him. Poor Kobe.
I like Bill O'Reilly. What?
Shut up. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, Catholic Church, don't you realize it doesn't matter what edict you pass down, which guy with the pointed funny cardboard hat says it, nobody's doing it anymore. No one cares anymore, man. We're, especially American Catholics, they're just doing whatever they want to do. These guys are passing down these edicts and these bans and these this and these that. Nobody's doing anything that you're telling them to do. Why are you killing all the trees and wasting all the paper on these stupid things that you say? Like, look at this. Here's the latest run. Roman Catholic bishops ended their big-time meeting. They all got together with all them pointed hats. They sat down at a big, long table, and they said same-sex unions are bad and obey the church ban on artificial birth control. No, we're not gonna. And it's not a sin if we tell you to take that pointed hat and shove it, okay? We're not going to not use birth control, and gay guys are going to get married, and they're going to be Catholic, and what are you going to do about it? What, do you think you're God? Oh, I forgot you do. Let me use another question. Do you think that you're not invisible? I know that. You can't come floating in and seeing what I'm doing in my bedroom. I'm honest to God, how many forests have died because some bishop somewhere said, Here's now what you got to do as a Catholic. You can't have sex with a tree. You can't stand on your chin. You can't this and that. And then they send it all out with all of these pieces of paper. Nobody's following it. I know, man. I grew up in America, Catholic. The American Catholics do whatever the hell it is they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. They use birth control. They smoke pot. They do all kinds of crap, and they go to Mass on Sunday because they're grooving on all of that. That's where it's at, you know, Mass, church, priest, stuff. Community, parish. You know what really gets me, and I'm not going to bore you guys, because a lot of you guys are like Protestant and hillbilly and stuff like that, and Canadian. So, but here's the thing that gets me. This church, the Catholic Church, has a lot of bread. They keep it all concentrated at the diocese level. Like, for instance, the L.A. County Diocese is so loaded, there's probably a mortal sin in it somewhere. They got so much money, they don't know what to do with it. But their idea on how parishes should support themselves is that they should be self-sufficient. So you got to send your kid home to do magazine subscriptions. They raise money for, you know, food drives. They raise money this way. They raise money that way. We actually had to get in the face of our school. The kids were having a vote. And in order to vote, you had to bring a can of food from home. This would go to the homeless. My wife was the one who noticed it. I was too stupid. She said, you know what? This sends the message to the kids. You have to pay to be able to vote. I said, wow, that's pretty heavy. She goes, and it's bull crap, and I'm going to call the school and do all of that. Make a long story short, they relented, but, you know, they're always coming up with some angle. So the diocese doesn't want to do anything for these churches, but when it comes to telling people how to live their lives, man, they're coming down with all kinds of decisions about things. They overwhelmingly approved the document urging states to withhold recognition of same-sex marriages as if you guys matter, as if you mean anything, as if the church wouldn't exist without you. See, I'm not about religion. I don't care. One of the problems is this. Religion should be nobody's business but your own. See, I've made a solemn oath to myself. Next time a guy asks me, do you believe in God? I'll say, it's none of your business whether I believe in God. What do you think of that? Well, what religion are you? None of your freaking business what religion I am. What do you mean, what religion am I? Well, are you Christian? It's none of your business. Why? Because I said what? I said it's none of your business. That's why. People spend more time, like this clown, like this redneck down in Alabama, they spend more time advertising they're a Christian than they do actually spending a life living it. You know what I'm saying? In other words, live it and people will know who you are. Am I right or am I wrong? And it ain't just Christians. Even the ragheads, they walk around with a sheet over their head with the Koran, and the Christians walk around with a processed pompadour and a blue suit, and the Jews walk around with a funny-looking curly hair doing a big beard and a goofy hat, and the Hindus with that dot in the middle of the forehead, and it's their little uniform to let people know that they're down with a religion. Whereas practice it and actually live it so that people would recognize you're a real person? No, they don't want to do that. Look, I got news for all of you, okay? All of you. This is my take on the world, and I believe I'm right. Why do I think I'm right? God told me. Here it is. All you can do in this world is live and then hopefully die as fast as you can. Live a good life. Have a lot of fun. Leave a good name. If people say your name and they say it with fondness, I think you'll know that you've lived a good life. And then die and get out of everybody's way as fast as you can, all right? And move on to whatever plateau of the planetary alignment you think you're going to go to. And that's it. Don't run around telling everybody what you are. I'm a Christian. I'm a Jew. I'm a this and I'm a that. Because the more you do that, the more you look like a freaking hypocrite every time you spend more time advertising that you're a damn Christian or Muslim than you do actually living some kind of a life that people would say, wow, that guy's really a cool guy. I mean, I wonder what he's about, you know, and maybe they'll ask you instead of you shoving it up everybody's rear end, right? But nobody wants to do that. Everybody wants to tell you what they are. They want to put a dot in their forehead, curly hair on the top of their head. They want to look like stupid idiots with a cross hanging around their neck. They want to, have the rag on their head. And they want to announce to the whole wide world that they're born again, that they're Christian, that they're this and they're that. So that when you act like a complete and utter ass in front of everybody, then we'll know, oh, that's right, you're a Christian. I forgot, you are a jackass. You know, I wouldn't give you 5 cents for somebody like that, but you show me somebody that lives their life, tries to stick a little bit more into this planet than was here when they first got here. They try to leave with people fond of them because they were generous and kind and because they cared about their family and they got a kick out of life too. They weren't, you know, beating themselves with a freaking rope and living a life of total deprivation. I mean, they were digging their life, right? And they lived and then they croaked. They didn't linger, they didn't hang around, they didn't make anybody feel guilty. They lived and then they died. And then they, wherever the hell they are, that's where they are. Okay, who cares? Seriously, who cares? I can't do anything about it. Once you're dead, man, I don't give a crap. I mean, I hope you're in heaven, but what the hell? I don't know where the hell you're going to go. We've got nothing to do, you know, death, that's a whole other thing, man. So just live your life, live it good, we'll all be good to each other, then get the hell out of here. Get out of here! And do us all a big favor. When you put the rag on your head in the morning, or you put the cross around your neck, or you wear your curly-headed hat, or you put the dot in the middle of your forehead, I got a newsflash for you. I know this is going to be a radical piece of thinking, but I just want you to try it. Try not telling anybody that what you are. Try being that person. Just be it. See what happens. Go 2 days without telling them. Go 3, maybe even 4, maybe even a month without saying, praise Jesus, or I'm a Muslim, or some other tired thing. Just go out and live it, man, okay? Then we'll know who you are. We'll know. Didn't the man say a tree is known by its fruit or you'll be known by your works or some bullcrap like that? Ain't that right, Chris? Okay, then go out and make some fruit. You fruit. Amber Fry's not going to testify. That's a good thing. Because then we won't have to look at Gloria Allred. Not you, Amber. It's Gloria. Go chase an ambulance, Gloria. I love you. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Born again.